get little Zeke. And you got to get them little Sonya, Edward's little kids, the little girls, Ashley and the aunt. And man, people were come out. I said, candy bar? She said, no, I'm not going to buy none for you, but there's a little girl over there. I'm going to buy one from her. I said, thank you. Little Jimmy. Jimmy was selling them like crazy, him and Tippy Brook, and I can't remember all that was down there. And Autumn was there, and Austin. Even Austin sold a few. He did. He got there and sold some. He sure did. And Jimmy, little Jimmy, one guy said, no, I don't want them. But Jimmy said, thank you anyway, sir. Have a great day. May the Lord bless you. The guy came out and said, I'm going to buy some because of the way you were so polite. Amen? And so I want to thank you for doing that. We're going to keep doing it until we sell all those candy bars. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. Get that? And then Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8. And Isaiah 45, verse 3. And when you get it all, stand. Let's read God's word. Okay, I've got to get moving here. Good to see you. God bless you. We're talking about the hidden treasures of darkness. And I told you I was going to share 10 truths with you. I shared 5 with you this morning. And I'm going to do 5 tonight. And notice in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, I will give thee, look what the word of God says, the what? Treasures of darkness. How many see that? Isaiah 45, 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. God says in the darkness there are treasures. Now, I told you, and we stipulated today, we're not talking about the evil, sinful darkness. We're talking about the darkness when we go through things in our lives. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about the darkness of sin. I'm talking about the darkness of people having grieving hearts and sorrow and troubles and going through things in life that come in the dark days, the dark valleys. How many know what I'm talking about? That's what we're talking about tonight. And then, so God said there's some hidden treasures we can find. You know, nobody likes to go through the darkness. But you know what? There's hidden treasure in darkness if we'll look for it. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them, yet let him remember, God says, remember the days of darkness. For they, those dark days, shall be many. And preachers' wives, you know about those dark days. There's a lot of pressure on those in the ministry. You're attacked from all. All people are attacked, but the ministry, that's why the Bible says pray for them. Even in when you do your pastoral epistles, and when you Timothy and Titus, all your other books in the Bible, all the other books have a greetings, grace, peace to you, grace, peace to you. But Paul, to his preacher boy, he put great grace, peace, mercy, because God's preachers and those that serve him, they need more than grace, and they need mercy, because the attacks from Satan are just unbelievable. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this night, and thank you for everyone here. Pray you'll bless each one. Lord, there's no doubt there were people this morning going through some dark days right now, and there are people here tonight going through dark days, and Father, I just pray with all my heart that I can be a blessing. That's all I want to be, is a blessing. Help our 2 missionaries, Lord. Bless each one of them and their families. And Lord, help them in all that they need to do the work of God. And Father, now come down and meet with us tonight. I believe you met with us this morning. Please, Father, meet again with us, we ask in Christ's name. Lord, help me to do well for you, that I can be a blessing to the people. And we'll praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're talking about the hidden treasures of darkness. And I told you, if you remember what we did this morning, real quickly, I told you there were three stages of darkness. And I slid this And I said, every one of us have a dark time in our life. We go through, there's darkness. And I said, picture this part of your life that's in the darkness. Are you with me? And Andrew, just help me, Andy. I use Jim and Kathy this morning because she just went to, and they were in darkness, but they remember they thought they had cancer and stuff. But I told you there's three stages of darkness. And by the way, you're always in one of these stages. You are always in one of these stages. You are either in the stage of darkness, or you're coming out of darkness. Go around, Andy. And I thank God for our Andrews. Or you're approaching darkness. You're either out of it, but you're coming towards it. You're in it, or you're leaving it. Let me see that. And it's a cycle. It's a cycle, and it never ends. You're either approaching darkness, heartaches, sorrow, grief. You're in heartache, sorrow, grief, or you're coming out of it. But you're in one of those. Here, Andy, come here. Get rid of that board for me. Thank you. The kid's the most popular kid in our school, in our church, but man, when you're that popular, you always get picked on. Amen? Now, here, if you're taking notes, by the way, how many stages of darkness is there? Three. There's going, approaching darkness, in darkness, leaving darkness. Are you with me? Three stages. Now, I told you I'm going to give you 10 treasures of darkness, truths about it. I gave you five this morning. It's already 6:45. So we have got to get it in gear. Amen? Number one, God. I told you in Genesis 1:2 that God moves in darkness. The Bible taught how God moved, and the Spirit of God moved. And what that showed us, that there's a lot of times, even though we can't sense God or feel God, He's still moving, doing things for us, even though we don't know it. Number two, I said God speaks in darkness. And I gave you Genesis 15, 12, and 13. Remember how Abraham, he was in great darkness, and God spoke to him. And there'll be a lot of times, by the way, a lot of times you've got to get in great darkness until God speaks to you. Because, you know, what I said this morning, a lot of times we aren't even listening. When things are going good and everything's perfect, we're not listening. When things start getting bad and the dark clouds start coming in, that's when we say, hey, Lord, I need you. I said, number one, God moves in darkness. I said, number two, God speaks in darkness, Genesis 15, 12, and 13. I said, number three, God manifests himself in darkness, Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. And there God manifests, just like he did to Moses. He manifests his life. He manifests himself to them, and he manifests us to us. And sometimes when he manifests in those darkness, sometimes that's the biggest time in your life. If you're going through a deep, dark time in your life, this might be the biggest time in your life that God's trying to speak to you and help you. Don't turn from the Lord. Look to him. It might be the most important time of all your life. And then number four, God protects us through the darkness. Joshua 24, verse 5 through 7. And we showed how God talked about how he put the darkness between the Egyptian army and the Israelites. Amen? And sometimes I told you, remember God, he brings darkness to try to keep us from people or keep us from places. Sometimes he uses darkness and things that happen in our life to keep us from getting into more trouble. Then I said number five, God reveals the deep things in darkness. And that was Job chapter 12, verse 22. Remember, I said no one had it worse than Job, and he didn't. But if you remember, why don't you turn to Job? Job's in front of Psalms. If you're looking for a job, it's right in front of Job. Look at the book of Job. Look at we ended in Job chapter 19, I believe. Yeah, in Job chapter 19, God reveals, and I, of all the heartaches and all the darkness, how many believe Job went through some darkness? And I said, when you're in that darkness, God don't have us in the darkness to become more bitter. He has us in the darkness so we can come better, stronger, closer to him. Darkness helps us come closer to God, believe it or not. Hello? That's the truth. I was sharing some things with Mark and Betty and this family. Sometimes it seems like when we have those hardships and heartaches in our life, that's the most closest time we are to God. And because Ruthie, a lot of times, like when everything's going good, whistle while you work. When everything's going bop 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 bop, hop that blue, happy birthday, and everything's going good. Listen, we don't think about God. We don't, Carl. It's when things start to crunch down. Thank you. You're getting the point. Thank you, whoever's got the side effects, thank you. I hope that's in the tape, John. Thank you, Lord, bringing it down from heaven. And what I'm trying to show you is this. I'll tell you, we're close to God here, Brother James. I'm telling you right now. Is darkness comes not to hurt us from God. Darkness comes to help us. And when we're going through those sorrow and deep trouble times, we need to be looking to God and say, oh, God, you're wanting to teach me something or show me something and reveal something to me. And so we said, don't get bitter at those times. And Job did. Job, even though he lost all his money and all his family and all his friends and his respect, and everything, he lost it all. We close with Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin was destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. I told you that Job, even though he was in the darkness, he found God. And the key is when you're in darkness, not to run from God, but to find God. Then, number six, we're getting, everybody's caught up. Amen. In Job chapter 23, they're right in order. I got them right in order for you. Job chapter 23 and verse 16 and 17. God softens our heart in the darkness. Number six, God softens our heart in the darkness. Job 23, verse 16 and 17. For God maketh my heart what? And the Almighty troubleth me. Yeah. Because I was not cut off before the darkness. How many see that? How many see the scriptures? There is sometimes God has to take us into deep darkness so he can break us and soften our heart. Because a lot of times we get like Pharaoh. We harden our heart. And next thing you know, we're not even being servants for God any longer. Listen to me. Darkness can soften our hearts when towards God. Many times when we get in some deep darkness and down, and when we get knocked down, all the way down, and the darkness comes in, a lot of times we have to get knocked down before we let God speak to us. I mean, God has to really work me over, Andy, for him to work. He's got to really, really put the hurt on me. Okay, Lord, Uncle, amen? You know what I thought about? When I was preparing this message, I thought about Jonah. Running from God. Not listening to God. And what happened to Jonah? Stay with me. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about darkness. God brings darkness to soften our heart. He gets swallowed by a whale. And that whale goes down, down. By the way, just inside that whale, it's dark. Like, I don't think the generator was running inside there. I don't think the electric company had any units going through there. Hello? And all the slop and the junk and the seaweed and all the fish. And are you with me? Hello? Stay with me. I thought about this. I'm going to read it to you. If you want, you can turn, but stay where you're at because I'm going right back to the book of Job. But in Jonah, I thought about this. In verse 2, he said, I cried by reason. I cried by reason of my affliction. In other words, God gets it dark enough for us, hard enough, troubled enough, we cry out. We finally say, Uncle, Uncle. By reason of my, and why did he cry? Because of affliction. The Lord, and he heard me out of the belly's hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Look at verse 6, chapter 2 of Jonah. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains of the earth with her bars was about me forever. You know what? The farther you go down in the sea, the darker, the darker, the darker, the darker it gets. How many believe Jonah was in darkness? I mean, he was in great darkness. And what? You know what? He wasn't obedient, Brother Mike, but boy, God put him in the darkness, the deepness of darkness, and then it softened his heart. And sometimes God has to take us down to soften our hearts so we'll listen to him. Sometimes he has to take us deep into darkness. I'm not talking about sin now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about grief and sorrow and heartaches and trouble. How many are with me? We're talking about a whole different kind of darkness. So Jonah cried out of the depths of the whale in the darkness of the deep bottom of the sea. Sometimes we'll run from God's will that the Lord has, and he has to swallow us up and put us in darkness just so we'll do his will. I wonder if there's anyone today in darkness that are running from God, and he might have to swallow you up and put you in darkness to make you do right. Can anyone say amen? Then number 7. I'm trying to do this and get you out of here at the right time. Psalms 18:11. God made darkness his secret place. Psalms 18:11. Did we get this morning message tape, John? Okay. If someone didn't get to hear the morning message, I believe it'll be able to get from the tape from John. God made darkness his secret place. Psalms 18:11. God made darkness his secret place. How many see that? His pavilion round about him with dark waters and thick clouds and skies. Look at verse 11. He, God, made darkness his secret place. Wow, preacher. By the way, if you even look at verse 9, he bowed the heavens also and came down. The darkness was under his feet. How many see that? Now, I got the truth for you. How many would like to get to the secrets of God? I would too. God made darkness his secret place. If you want to get the secrets from God, you got to go to a secret place. Listen, Christian. How do you get those great secrets from God? Well, God made the dark place the secret place of God. We all want those great secrets, but none of us want to go through the darkness to get them. There's people in here today that I will not mention their names, but I can name person after person. I know that they went through a lot of darkness. They went through a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow. And I know God has shown them some things that we'll never know because we haven't experienced stuff. I'll pick on one guy because I'm so proud of him. I look at Judy and Jimmy Furness. And do you know what? I know Jimmy's here, but I'm going to say this. Every day I go by your house, Jimmy. I mean this. I ask God to bless you and Judy every day I go by your house. Matter of fact, every time I drive by any one of our members' church, any home of my member, I try to stop and say, oh God, would you bless them right now and help them? Jimmy, years ago, Jimmy was a tremendous carpenter. And Jimmy was a tremendous carpenter, and he had great talent. But he had to have a surgery, and the doctor messed up. And he was paralyzed with his arm for the rest of his life because of that doctor. And I've been here 18 years, and that's about 18 years. It happened right about the time the preacher came here. For 18 years, Jimmy and Judy have fought and suffered and battled. Now he's having a hard time breathing. I hope everybody prays for Jimmy and Judy Furness. And one day I said to God, because I'll be honest with you, I said, God, Jimmy's a great guy and Judy's a She's a princess. She's just a tremendous lady. She is. Judy's the sweetest. Me and Jimmy are ornery, but Judy's, she's a sweet, sweetie pie. She's real. She's for real. Me and Jim might tell you to hit the road, but Judy would never do that. She's a sweetie. Thank God for the sweeties. They usually marry the guys like us. Jimmy got a raw deal. And Jimmy, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to have to wait to heaven to understand it. And I'm going to say this, Jimmy, and I never told you this before, and I hope I'm not wrong to say what I'm going to say. I said, God, they're such a good family. Why did this have to happen to Jimmy? And the only thing I could come up with, Jimmy, is this. Two big things. One, because of this, you're in church a whole lot more. I think if he do this, he'd become way closer to God because he don't have to work 24 hours a day. Hello? And Jimmy, you've been such a faithful man. You have a closer walk with God now than you ever would have had. Hello? And when he gets to heaven, his reward's going to be greater than if he would have never got hurt. And Jimmy, that's going to last. See, your payday's coming in heaven, Jimmy. You're going to have it for eternity. God's going to give you all kinds of stuff in eternity. Say, I know you got the bad chickens down there, but I'm going to hundredfold it now. And that's going to be for eternity. And I could talk about family after family. All the heartache. This church knows heartache. This church knows sorrow. I've never been in a greater church than this. I've never had a more giving people than this, more sweeter people. I mean that. But I've never seen a people that have suffered more. Maybe that's why you're so special. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because this church is precious. I've been here for 18 years. I know who this church is. And they put up with me for 18 years, preacher. Can you believe that? That shows you how special they are. You'll get your reward in heaven. God made his darkness, number 7, in a secret place. And if you want those secret things, you got to be willing to go through the darkness. And I thought about this, Tommy. To get to those secret places where we get those blessings from God, you got to go through darkness. Ruthie, I thought about my Savior, Jesus. They took him out on Golgotha Hill. And they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And they hung him between heaven and earth. And from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours, he hung on the cross of Calvary and suffered and agonized and died for me and for you and for all the world. But did you ever notice we're talking about darkness today? And from the Bible says in Luke, from 12 o'clock on to 3 o'clock, 3 solid hours, there was darkness. If you check it out in the book of Luke, there was darkness in all the world, not just Jerusalem. All the earth, all the world was in dark, total darkness. Why? Because Christ was suffering darkness so you and I could suffer light. He was becoming poor so you and I could become rich in him. Oh, hallelujah. Number 8, God uses darkness to see if you'll rebel against his word. Psalms 105, verse 28. Psalms 105, verse 28. Isn't God good? Psalms 100, verse 20, 105, verse 20. He sent darkness. Psalms 105, verse 28. He sent darkness and made it dark. He did. He made it dark. And they rebelled not against his word. Sometimes, Brother Mark, God's going to send darkness into our life, hardships, troubles, to see how we're going to respond. Are you still with me? God uses darkness to see what we're made of. I got a kick out of our captain in the Air Force. He ran that 26-mile run yesterday over there in the Air Force, over there in the base in Dayton, I believe it was. But he injured his leg, I'm told. In the early part of the race, he injured his leg. And he was having trouble running. But he didn't let that stop him. He didn't win the race, but he finished. But Brother Mike, next time, stop. Look, Kay, I'm proud of you. You got grit. I know you got grit. When Brother Mike got there, he was completely exhausted. He actually, his body collapsed. But he stood the test. I think a lot of times God wants to see, okay, I'm gonna cause you some affliction. I'm gonna trip you up a little bit. I'm gonna slow you down. I'm gonna put an obstacle in your life. Let's see if you'll keep running for me. Let's see what kind of character you got. Let's see how much integrity you got. Will you turn on God? Will you keep going? Hello? God wants to see if your Christianity has some substance to it. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We sing that, don't we? And we say, I'll follow Jesus anywhere. Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. Man, I'm telling you, I'm with Jesus all the way. Then a dark cloud comes into our life. And something happens. And it hurts. And there is great darkness. And what happens? We fall apart. And we quit running for God. We say, that's it, God. If you love me, you wouldn't have done this. No, he loved you. That's why he did do it. The reason he does it to me, he loves me. And it's not like I showed you in Job. It was not because he wasn't chastening Job. We got to get Christianity right sometimes. Yes, God does chasten people when they do bad. I understand that. But not all people when they have trouble is a chastening from God. I get so mad. By the way, don't come up and say, man, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, I'll bet you God's really mad at them. Look what happened. I don't know if he's mad at them, but I know one thing. He's mad at you for saying that. And he's mad at you for thinking it. Hey, get the thing out of your own eye before you pluck somebody else's. Amen? Jesus said, where's all your accusers? He said, "There, I have none. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Amen? Let me tell you something. There'll be dark days in our life, and God said, I wonder if they'll keep running the race. I wonder, even though they're sick and they're, maybe a horrible disease will come into us. Maybe one of our spouses or our children, or who knows? Maybe something real, really bad would happen, yet would we stay in the race? Would we have, how much substance does our Christianity have? Would we stay with the stuff? Do we have the right stuff? Sometimes God brings darkness, great darkness in our life, just to see if we'll stay. Number 9, are you still with me? Psalms 112, verse 4. God reveals light in darkness. Psalms 112, verse 4. Unto the upright, there arises light. Look what the scripture says. Watch this, Mark. Light in the darkness. How many see that? Wow. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. Woo. What a thought. You know, we take light for granted. I'm not just talking about this light. By the way, a lot of you had your lights knocked out last week because of that storm. When you don't have lights, you miss them. Even a little flicker of light would make you happy, wouldn't it? Isn't it amazing, even spiritually speaking? We take their Bible for granted. We take the light of Christ and spiritual things. We take it for granted. We really do. I do. But what about when you get in a place in your life when you cannot feel God's presence? You cannot hear God's voice speaking to you. By the way, almost all of us come sometime in our life in that place. If you'll be honest. Betty, when you pray and say, God, are you hearing what I'm saying? Lord, it's looking bad down here. And I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. Hello? And boy, we all of a sudden we're in this complete darkness where God's not showing us nothing, not speaking to us. We don't hear him. We don't sense his presence. And all of a sudden we'll read a scripture and he'll give us a little flicker of light. Spirit, wow! Andy, look what I found in the Bible. God showed me that. Woohoo! Buddy, when you're in deep darkness, even a little flicker of light gets us excited. Are you with me? And sometimes God, because we take so much things for granted from God, sometimes he removes the light from us. So we yearn to have even a flicker of it. Are you still with me? And then, lastly, by the way, it's scary to be in the dark. And sometimes, just a little candle. It can't even light up the whole room. You ever have your lights go out? And even if you just had a little tiny candle, just enough to keep it. Because, you know, look up here. If we turned all the lights off, and Eddie, if we could ever put our hand in front of our face in the dark and we couldn't see it, that's dark. I mean, if I could do this, Eddie, and I couldn't see my hand, that's dark. But even have a little shadow of light would make me excited. Amen? And by the way, when your lights go out and you put those little candles on, just that little bit of light helps give you confidence. Hello? Then number 10. We're at the end. Hallelujah. I could have kept going. Number 1, I told you God moves in the darkness, even when you don't think he's there. Number 2, God speaks in the darkness. Number 3, God manifests himself in the darkness to us. Number 4, God protects us through darkness. Number 5, God reveals the deep things in the darkness. Number 6, God softens our heart in the darkness. Number 7, God made darkness his secret place. And if we want to find those secret things, the entranceway is through going through darkness. Number 8, God uses darkness to see if we will rebel against his word. Number 9, God reveals light in darkness. Did you catch that when I read that? He gave light in darkness. And then number 10, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. I want every teenager to listen to me. I want every adult to hear me. Look at Proverbs 20:20, and I'm done. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. And by the way, that's not talking about the lamp that you have in your house. That's talking about the spirit of light within you. The spirit that's in you. Are you with me? Because you learned that from Romans. Now stay with me. Number 10, Brother Mike, God uses darkness to correct us when we rebel against our God-given authority. God uses darkness to correct us when we rebel against our God-given authority. When we reject those who God has given to us to have authority in our lives, God sends darkness. I preached a message a few weeks ago to the kids about pig pen religion. And part of pig pen religion is kids will rebel against their parents. Let me say something to you. Who are some authorities? And then I'm going to make a last statement. Who are some authorities that God puts in our life for the sake of time? Number one, your pastor is one of your authorities. Hebrews chapter, if you're taking notes, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and plus 17, talks that obey them who have authority over you because they watch for your souls. You ought to listen to the preacher. Don't have to obey, but listen and take. As long as I'm giving you the word of God, you take it. As long as I'm giving you God's word, you take it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 plus 17. Pastors are God-given authorities. Teachers are God-given authorities. Evangelists are God-given authorities. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And God gave some apostles, some teachers, some evangelists, for preachers, for the edifying of the body. He gives us different people in the church to help that man right there and that man right there and these deacons and these that man right there. He's given us them so to help give you truth from God to help your lives. Hello? And then parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. By the way, if you go against your parents, it's not well with you. Right. Let me say this to you. 7:15. You don't got to break. You don't twist your neck. This is worth every minute of it. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about how God uses darkness to reach our hearts. I'm not talking about the darkness of sin. I'm not talking about wickedness. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm not talking about lying and cheating and stuff. No, I'm talking about the things we go in our life. How many are still with me? But God says, did you look at that verse 20? Those that rebel against God's authority, verse 20, whoso curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's scary. Now, some of you kids better listen to me. Don't you ever yell at your mother. Don't you ever yell at your dad. Don't you ever chew out your grandma or your grandpa or your aunt and your uncle or one of the deacons or one of these adults even, and especially the preacher. Because the moment you start doing that, the very moment you start doing that, God says, warning, warning, warning. Those men, those people are there for you. You say, well, I don't like that evangelist black. You're in warning. Already, you're starting to get in darkness. And Brother Mike, these kids are rebel. You kids are tough and want to rebel against your parents. You watch out. He said, obscure darkness. The moment you start yelling and being mean to your parents, you're going in darkness, 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 darkness. The Bible says more than that, obscure darkness. So far beyond, you're going to be out of control. We're going to lose sight of you. And you're going to go off the deep end. And God's going to take his hands off you. And he's going to let the world destroy you. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. But you're gonna have this over in 1 John talks about the sin. It's a Christian sin, the sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5. I tell you not to pray for him. You kids better listen to me. Preacher, before I got saved, I was a rotten kid. But I think the reason I made it, I always loved my mama. And I always loved my daddy. I ain't kidding you. We never went to church. I never sang Amazing Grace. My parents never took me to church. But if you just said one thing about my mama or one thing about my dad, I would have just said, pow! Pow! I would have said, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Kick, kick, kick. Smash, smash. Spit, spit. And I think that's the only thing that saved me, Mike. Because I was an old kid, rotten kid. But I sure loved my parents. And you know what I always said, Mike? My dad was airborne. He was paratrooper. My dad, when I grew up, he taught me to say, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir, no, sir. You know, to this day, I still say, yes, sir. Sometimes it drives our seniors nuts. I'll say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes. They'll say, what are you doing, preacher? All my life, I've always responded, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. It's not bad to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. By the way, by doing it, he sold candy bars yesterday, by having the right kind of language. Remember that guy bought them off you because you was a good boy and talked right? See, God says, I put people in your life to help you. And if you go against those who I put in your life to help you, you're going in deep darkness. And you're going to end up in that hog pen like that prodigal son. So let me help you. That darkness you don't want. Now that's a darkness of sin. That's the only one I talked about tonight of the ten of the sin. And by the way, I'll just throw, this ain't going to cost you nothing. This just got back to me today, and it crushed my heart. And I don't know who did it, but I'm going to put you all on hold right now. Adults or children. I heard there was some cussing out there on the playground the other day. And some kids that never heard a swear word in their life heard one. And that broke my heart that it had to be at our church. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you're a teenager or an adult. I catch you swearing out on church property. I'm going to do what you did, my mama did to me. You know what my mama did to me, Andrew? Now, you don't, he don't cuss. I'm just because he's right there in front of me. One day I was in the driveway and it was summertime. By the way, it's 20 after 7 now. I'm heading towards 7:30, but I think you're going to make it. My flight's about 7:30. I think we're going to land. I got the wheels down, the flaps. Made it all the way with my jacket, too. I feel pretty good. One day I was in, it was summertime and the windows were up. See, back then, preacher didn't have air conditioning in his house. Like, hello? We just had the old, and we had the old little fly sticks that hung down. How many remember those? You got to be old to know what preacher's talking about here. I'm glad we don't have them today because Luke and Levi be licking them. But I was talking to my buddies, and I said some cuss words. And my mom was in the kitchen, and the window was open right next to her. She said, Richie! You call me Dr. Skyrim, don't you call me Richie. Come here. Okay, Mom. I thought she's going to give me some Nestle's Quick or something, or Ovaltine, or peanut butter sandwich. Yeah, we used to do Ovaltine all the time. All those good days. And she said, what'd you just say? I heard you over that. What, Mom? Mm-hmm. She had a big, now you kids won't know what, she had a bar of soap that was called Lava. You kids are probably too, I don't think they make it no more. Do they still? It was horrible. It's gray. And she said, you got a filthy mouth. And I don't like people with filthy mouths. And I let her do it because of my dad. She told my dad he would do worse. He would have ripped my head off. And then put it back on. Then maybe eat the stinking soap. She said, open your mouth. And she put that thing, that lava. She said, I'm going to clean your tongue. So from now on, no dirty words come out anymore. And they didn't in that driveway. Don't be cussing in my driveway. Bible, we shouldn't cuss anyways. Bible says in Ephesians, we're supposed to say words that edify to the hearer, make communication to the hearers. I understand sometimes people lose their temper, but it's still not good. John Rollins One time a guy came to John Rollins, he's a pastor down in Cincinnati, Ohio. He said, I just caught your deacon, and he cussed me out back there, and what do you think about that? Dr. John Rollins down in Cincinnati, Ohio. He said, I never knew Mike to cuss anybody, didn't need it. Listen, I'm trying to bring you back. No cussing. Never. I don't want no filthy words. This is God's place. By the way, you oughtn't have no filthy words out of this place. I'm going to tell you right now, though, don't be cussing around me. If I hear you, I'm going to go get some soap, and I'm going to clean your tongue. You say, if you say, I'm a big kid, I'll get the guy to hold you down. And I'll tell you right now, I might only last 5 minutes, but this old man will be good for 5 minutes until I run out of breath. Amen. And soap, right. You know what? Why should we dishonor our Savior? Why would we want to use the name of God in vain? We've been saved. We've been taken out of that. That's all. 25 after, I'll close with this thought. Some of you young people, maybe even some of you old people, maybe you've been disrespectful to your authorities. You kids, if you've been disrespectful to your parents, I want you to go to your parents tonight right after church and tell them you're sorry. Or even go to them during the invitation while God's still speaking to our heart. Go to your parents and say, hey, I've been disrespectful to you. And I don't want to go in this. You're going in. Oh, I don't care what you say, preacher. You're just going darker. I don't care what the old man says. You're going darker, darker, darker. How dark's it going to get before you turn? Or will you die in darkness? Some of you need to respect the authority of God's man. Don't be talking about them. Don't be putting them down. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. Pray for me. That's how you help the preacher. You pray for him, not persecute him. Some of you are yelling about your teachers. Had one little girl come in, it was in my own family, yelled about me. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you say one more thing about your teacher, I'm going to whip your fanny. I guess she's not too bad. You say another word, I'm going to whip the fire out of you. Those teachers are dedicating their life for you students. Sacrificing just so you kids can have a good, godly Christian education. Taking a fourth of a salary where they can be getting all kinds of money in the out of the world. But no, they did it as a ministry. We ought to thank God for every Christian teacher we have here. They ought to have respect and honor. They're a God-given authority in our church for our students. Amen? You guys go against Brother Mark or Miss Betty or Miss Ruth or any of the other teachers, I'm going to tell you right now, even Miss Shannon, you little kindergartners, you go against her, you're going against God. You go against Mr. Ballard, you're going against God. You go against Mrs. Dollar, you're going against God. Did I forget anybody? Mrs. Howard, you go against Mrs. Howard, you're going against God. Anybody else? Mrs. Daphne, our teacher, you're going against God. Hello? You're going against the preacher, you're going against God. You better watch out because I'll get you. Preacher's mean. They hate me, Brother Jameson, but they. Everybody's sweet. Preacher always comes by, and I yell and scream. And I kick. Here comes the preacher, Brother Ray. Here he comes. Here comes the preacher. I keep him suspended all the time. If the kids knew how much I loved them. But I want them to keep going forward for Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us in the darkness. There's treasure in those first nine. In the first nine that I talked about, there's treasure in that darkness. Lord, I pray as Christians, as we either are in darkness, leaving darkness, or about to enter darkness. Lord, there's three stages, so we're always in some stage of darkness. Help us, Father. to understand that. And that seek you and search for you and listen for you and draw nigh to you and call out to you and not become bitter, but become better and stronger and closer. Lord, we can find some hidden treasures that we could really use for our lives, that only the darkness and the secret place of darkness we can find these things to help make our lives more stable for Christ. Help us. Help us to find those secret places. Help us to find those treasures that are hidden in the darkness that God gives to us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven." Thank you. You may put it down. How many would say, "Pastor, I'm really not sure if I'm saved or not, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. How many say, "Preacher, and I'm not going to come to you, and I don't want you to have to tell me, but maybe you're going through some real darkness. Maybe you got some tremendous heartache. Maybe you're going through a lot of heartache and sorrow and suffering right now. You know what it is to be in the darkness because you've been going through a lot of heartache and stress and grief." And you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm yes, ma'am. I'm in. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, ma'am. I see it way back there. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you." Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Yes, I saw the hand. God bless. Yes, I see that hand for the little one. We're going through some darkness. It's hard. I'm praying God will help us see what we can see from it. But it sure hurts, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm in that darkness that you preached about today. God bless you. I see that, ma'am. Yes. Yes. God saw every one of your hands. He sees your heart. I'm going to pray for you in just 1 minute." How many Christians would say, teenager, anyone, especially the teenagers, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been going against my mom and dad. And I don't want to keep going out in obscure darkness. I need to go to my mom and dad and tell them I'm sorry and come back to God. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Yes. I want you to go to your parents tonight. Don't you put it off. I want you to go to your parents tonight. Who else? How many teenagers think you know it all? Think your mom and dad are a bunch of dummies? Well, they don't know nothing. They know a whole lot more than what you know. And when you grow up, you're going to find out your kids are going to say the same things about you that you said about your mom and dad. Your mom and dad loves you. That's why they fuss. They didn't love you. They wouldn't. If your mom and dad didn't care about you, they wouldn't try to make you do things that were right for you. If they just said, "Go ahead, go out and kill yourself, go out and do it, make a wreck of your life." No, your mom and dad loves you. Your teachers loves you. Your preacher loves you. God's put us in your life to try to help you, not to hurt you. Lift you up, not take you down. Don't go out in obscure darkness. You kids, listen to me. You rebel against authority, you'll be going out in obscure darkness. Some of you are already, see what's trouble. Some people are so, right now, there might be people here right now that are so far in obscure darkness, this preaching don't even affect them. They're so far gone. They're so far gone that the preaching no longer has effect on them. That's scary. One lady years ago cried. She said, "Preacher, I'm sorry I cried." I said, don't be sorry you cried. That means God's still speaking to your heart. It's when we can't cry. It's when God don't move. We can know our heart's so hard that we don't get moved. That's when we need to cry. Father, I hold up every one of these folks, especially those that raised their hand. Lord, I know my people are going through some hard things right now in their lives. Please help my people. I love them so much. Please, dear God, help them, Father. Help them come down and put your arms around them and hug them.
Lord, love them from heaven. May they sense your love and your tenderness. May they sense your presence. May they see you're moving in their life and trying to work in their life and to help them, Father, and guide them, and work things out in their life for them. Please, please let them sense your presence tonight. And Lord, I pray for my teenagers. Help them not to go out in obscure darkness. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, please go out and move their heart even right now. Some have got some dark hearts. I pray just a flicker of light could go in there tonight. Oh, could just a flicker of light get in part of that darkness to help bring them out? I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. 380.